Today, much of the research that we've been doing has been focused on how to use 25-hydroxy D3 either as a full replacement or in addition to some levels of vitamin D3 to get the vitamin status that we want, which greater than 60 nanograms per mil of 25-hydroxy D3 in the serum is kind of the target level to make sure you're optimizing everything, not just bone, but optimizing immune status, optimizing feeding, getting that status in the breeding cells. We've done studies showing you can improve fetal muscle fiber development and their bone development. And also, we followed some progeny and shown that that has an impact on their growth post-weaning. And so improved growth from post-weaning all the way to slaughter if the sows have an improved vitamin D status from feeding 25-hydroxy D3.
The Swinet Podcast Show Canada is only possible with the support and trust of innovative companies like
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. When it comes to 25-hydroxy D3 products, purity matters. Hi-D is a pure, effective 25-hydroxy D3 solution to help pigs improve their vitamin D status. Learn more at hy-d.info. Top Pigs Norsvin, the world's most innovative swine genetics company.
Welcome to the Swine It Canada podcast show presented by Wisenetics. We are dedicated to bringing you the latest insights and discussions in the Canadian pork industry. So I'm Miranda Smith, and I'll be the host for today's episode. And our guest today is Dr. John Bergstrom, who is the senior technical expert of swine nutrition at DSM Firmenich. So welcome to the show, John.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about vitamin D and like some of the research updates around that. So, but before we get started on that, can you first give us a little bit of a background introduction to yourself and the current role that you're doing?
Yes. So I'm, as you stated, a senior technical expert in swine nutrition at DSM Firmenich. I've been with DSM now. It'll be 15 years this coming July. And during that time, I've held the same role, but had continuous learning in specifically in the areas of vitamins and some also in calcium and phosphorus nutrition, particularly as it relates to the use of phytase in the past. And also had an opportunity to become an expert, one of the experts on vitamins, particularly vitamin D, as that's an important topic, as we'll learn during this podcast. So I've been involved in quite a bit of the research in the last 10 to 15 years with vitamin D and working with researchers at universities and also working with our account managers and customers to try to help them utilize vitamin D and as well as some other vitamins to their benefit to try to improve their profitability, health of their pigs, and of course, pig welfare can fall into that category as well.
Okay, and so let's get started with the first question, which would be like, why vitamin D? Like of all the vitamins and all the other things you can be looking at, why is vitamin D such a big topic right now?
Yeah, so it really was becoming a big topic already 15 years ago when I first started. And so that's why I've had the ability to keep working in that area and continuously learn more. But already 15 years ago, it was recognized that there were some cases in the field, particularly a few here in the U.S., where pigs were found to be vitamin D deficient. Cases of metabolic bone disease. Dr. Crenshaw at the University of Wisconsin discovered that the absence of vitamin D in the sow diet could cause kyphosis in the progeny, particularly after weaning, which is the humpy back, you know, pigs, and that would also be associated with reduced growth, reduced bone mineralization and bone density, and lameness is already, even today, a very common problem cited as a reason for removals, need for euthanasia for welfare reasons in animals. And so lameness is still a big issue. And so oftentimes Calfos enters the discussion, and vitamin D is certainly demonstrated to be important in that aspect as well. Recent surveys of pigs in industry during that last 15 years have found that pigs have a very low status, particularly very young pigs, and much lower than the reference ranges that were established for vitamin D in swine 30 plus years ago when pigs were being raised outdoors. And so we have pigs being raised indoors nowadays. And from an evolutionary standpoint, sunlight was an important source of vitamin D. You know, the animals obtaining vitamin D for their metabolic needs. And so with the increased productivity and metabolic demands of our pigs nowadays, and they're also becoming much leaner, vitamin D's just kind of been one of those nutrients that's gained a lot of interest in people trying to make sure they're meeting that need to improve outcomes in their pigs, reduce the incidence of lameness, and so on.
Looking to boost the productivity and health of your swine herd? Hi-D is the original pure source of 25-hydroxy-D3, proven in over 100 research trials and fed to millions of pigs each year in North America. Hi-D improves bone strength, immune health, and enhances overall performance. Whether you want to improve sow longevity, get heavier nursery pigs, or help your grow-finished pigs thrive, trust the original, pure, proven 25-hydroxy-D3 Hi-D. Learn more at hy-d.info.
So actually, pigs are not that different from humans then, in that case, because we also get most of our vitamin D through sunshine.
That's exactly right. And there's even some new publications from a group in Germany indicating there may be differences between different genetic lines in their how they metabolize vitamin D. Some may be better at converting D3 to the important 25-hydroxy-D3, which is the indicator we use to assess status in the animals. You know, we look at serum levels to try to assess whether the pigs are deficient or adequate. And there are some indications there could be genetic differences in the ability of some pigs to convert D3 to 25-hydroxy-D3. So it's really a continuing area of interest. And we continue to do research in that area. And that's what I hope to provide today is some updates of some of the latest research.
Mm-hmm. So, but before we do that, can you first give us an idea of like what the vitamin D requirements actually are for swine?
Yeah, so that's an excellent question. We know that vitamin D is absolutely essential for sustaining calcium and phosphorus metabolism and their utilization. But it's also been found to be important for reproduction, fetal development of both muscle and bone in the fetuses. Immunity, as you mentioned, in the human area, there's been during COVID and even before that, but particularly during COVID, there was a lot of interest in vitamin D and studies showing it was important for immunity. And we've got some evidence and are doing work right now, actually, looking at some PERS challenge models. There's some evidence that we could have a benefit from vitamin D for improving immunity in piglets as well. And then, and so requirements. So the NRC 2012, you know, they did update the requirement estimate for sows to 800 for when it had been 220 IUs per kilo of diet before. But there hasn't been a lot of changes. Most of the industry, there's been some surveys of industry levels of supplementation. And based on some of those surveys, most commercial farms, nutritionists are formulating diets to contain 2 to 5 times the amount suggested by the NRC. And it's especially, you know, 5 times or at those higher levels of supplementation in reproducing animals like your breeding sows and boars and in nursery pigs, because they're often found to have a very low status at weaning. It depends on what part of the world you're in, though. As you know, in Canada, there used to be a limit to how much vitamin D you can feed that was at 1,500 international units per kilo a diet. But then that was recently increased to 3,500 international units per kilo a diet. In Europe, they have a limit of 2,000. So oftentimes the amount that's being fed is could be based on what the genetic company recommends, which there are a number of different recommendations. I'd have to say they're fairly similar, but there are some differences between what the genetic companies recommend. But I would say that the requirement is much higher than the NRC established. And that was just to, you know, ensure that adequate bone development. But we know that the requirement, especially from the human data as well, the requirement to optimize immunity or for bone healing, fracture repair, if you will. We've got data showing reductions in osteochondrosis in pigs if you have a much higher status. So the requirement, it's definitely essential, but the requirement is kind of dependent upon the life stage and what your objectives are. For a terminal market pig, you may not want to feed or need to feed as much, for instance, as you would want to feed to a developing gilt who you're hoping to keep in your herd for a much longer time and have a very productive, you know, lifetime of reproduction. And so the requirements, I would say that they're higher than what the NRC suggests. But if we use 25-hydroxy-D3 instead of D3 in the diet, we may not be able, may not need to supplement as much to achieve a greater or improved status.
Okay, that makes sense. So as you're already mentioning kind of like different types of vitamin D, like can you talk a little bit about the different sources that we can get vitamin D from for pigs?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, you know, from an evolutionary standpoint, sunlight was a very important source. And then it was only about a little more than 100 years ago that we actually, it was identified that vitamin D was the factor in humans that could prevent or cure rickets. And so, and that's what metabolic bone disease in pigs is. And so we experienced some of that. And, traditionally, we've been using D3, and even at feeding 5 times NRC or industry type levels, we have a tough time achieving the status that we believe is needed to ensure good bone health and optimal immunity or optimizing fetal muscle fiber development and what have you. And so 25-hydroxy, and that's with D3 in the diet. In recent years, 2016 is when we had the ability to use a different metabolite, 25-hydroxy-D3, a pure form of it. We were able to use that in swine diets in the U.S. and then also in Canada. And that's 2.5 times more effective on an equal unit basis of vitamin D activity. It's 2.5 times more effective for the animal to utilize it and for improving status. And so today, much of the research that we've been doing has been focused on how to use 25-hydroxy-D3 either as a full replacement or in addition to some levels of vitamin D3 to get the vitamin status that we want, which greater than 60 nanograms per mil of 25-hydroxy-D3 in the serum is kind of the target level to make sure you're optimizing everything, not just bone, but optimizing immune status, optimizing feeding, getting that status in the breeding cells. We've done studies showing you can improve fetal muscle fiber development and their bone development. And also, we followed some progeny and shown that that has an impact on their growth post-weaning. And so improved growth from post-weaning all the way to slaughter if the sows have an improved vitamin D status from feeding 25-hydroxy-D3.
That's huge. So like the hydroxy D3, is that something that you create synthetically or is it a natural?
Yes. So So my company, DSM Firmenich, you know, its roots go back to DSM Nutritional Products and go back to actually Roche Vitamins. And they were the ones who originally were able to produce 25-hydroxy-D3 synthetically. But there's several steps that are important to make sure that it's pure and that it doesn't contain any other metabolites, which may be harmful. So it was in the 70s already when Roche, Hoffman LaRoche, was started producing 25-hydroxy-D3 to be used for animal feed. And of course, they were looking at human medicine as well. But so we've already got a long history within our company of developing this metabolite and making sure that it's safe and doesn't contain any harmful metabolites like the 125-dihydroxy-D3, which is calcitriol, and that's a hormonal form, which can be risky or dangerous if it's accidentally supplemented too high, and it also doesn't carry the benefits that 25-hydroxy-D3 provides because it's further along in the metabolic process, and that's the most critical one for CalFOS, which the animal needs 25-hydroxy-D3, and then the calcitriol in the animal is tightly regulated. And so if we overfeed the hormone, we can, and the animal's already controlling that level from that it's making in the body from 25-hydroxy-D3, you can actually have a vitamin hypercalcemia or hypervitaminosis D type symptoms. And so it's a synthetic, but it's nature identical, I would say. It's exactly identical to the form that's in the body so that it can have the functions that we're looking for to improve health.
So you already mentioned a lot of different things, both on like the gilt and sow side as like growing pig side. So I would love to now go into a little bit more of the recent research that you've been dealing with, and maybe we'll start with sows and gilts.
Yeah. So some of the earlier research we had done looking at vitamin D and also including this pure 25-hydroxy-D3 as a form to supplement the diet with. Some work has demonstrated that in gestating gilts, by feeding that and achieving a status of 50 to 60 nanograms per mil in the serum of 25-hydroxy-D3, like I mentioned, we're able to measure improvements in muscle fiber development in the progeny. And then, and so that was some exciting research. And we've repeated some of that and then actually instead of euthanizing piglets or fetuses, collecting them and measuring muscle fiber characteristics, we've actually done work, allowed those progeny to be weaned and follow them to market in a project at University of Arkansas. In collaboration with PIC, we found that the pigs born to sows with that improved status from feeding 25-hydroxy-D3 were actually almost 4 kilos heavier at slaughter during the same period of growth. And so some very exciting data on the importance of vitamin D in maternal nutrition and its impact on the progeny. And with respect to developing gilts, there's been a few trials done in the past also that although there were no differences in growth, when you look at bone, there were definite effects, improvements in bone development and improved structure scoring for gilts at time of selection. Some earlier work that was done in Mexico, some work done in Japan also, they slaughtered pigs at 110 kilos and found that the pigs, although there were no differences in growth performance, the pigs that had an improved status from feeding 25-hydroxy-D3 had a 30 to 40% reduction in the incidence or severity of osteochondrosis in the femur and on the humerus, on the articular surface of the cartilage. And so, and then, more recently, a student at the University of Illinois, Diego, one of Dr. Stein's students, had done work and presented it at Midwest Animal Science in 2025. It was growing and finishing pigs, but they also looked at bone and found the same thing, that when they added 25-hydroxy D3 in addition to the existing levels of vitamin D3 that were in the premix, no differences in growth, but they saw significant reduction in the incidence of osteochondrosis. So, and then Dr. Mark Knauer at North Carolina State University recently did a study with gilts, growing gilts, and fed two different CalFOS ratios and then added or not 25-hydroxy D3 and saw with the increased CalFOS ratio treatment and the 25-hydroxy D3 added, there was an improvement in bone development or bone characteristics in those gilts at slaughter. So there's some really good evidence to support that for good bone health and development, having that improved status of greater than 60 nanograms per mil of 25-hydroxy D3 as measured in the serum from feeding 25-hydroxy D3, there's some real benefits that we're finding in bone health. In terms of some other recent research, we've done work in gestating sows with Dr. Stein at the University of Illinois. And this is feeding 25-hydroxy D3 in addition to existing industry levels of vitamin D3, which are already well above NRC, and seeing improvements in both calcium and phosphorus digestibility. And so that's very interesting data because, you know, we don't, you know, we're already feeding 5 times or 10 times sometimes the level of the NRC requirement estimate. But by adding 25-hydroxy D3 at 2000 IU per kilogram of diet equivalent, we're seeing this improvement in calcium and phosphorus digestibility, suggesting that the form of the vitamin matters. And with that, with our pigs being indoors today, that's some important learnings from our recent research.
Well, and I can also see this making a big difference when you have a group sow housing, right? Which, like in Canada, we're all going towards that. So the animals are going to be walking around more. So it's very important to have that like good bone structure.
Absolutely. And I believe, similar to humans, as you mentioned before, that there can be some benefits of loose housing, right? The sow's ability to move and exercise, if you will, can improve bone density. But also there can be stress too, right? Fighting and things like that. And so it's really important to ensure that we're providing those nutrients that will enable that sow to have maximized bone health and also, as I mentioned, with the osteochondrosis reduction, bone healing. So there's going to be some injury, but the ability to support good healing and repair of that tissue when it does become insulted, you know, is going to help ensure that our sows are going to recover or perhaps be resilient and last longer in our herds.
Perfect. So then what about the growing pig side? Any exciting research there?
Yeah, so we've done some research in the nursery, which as I mentioned, it's pretty standard to find pigs at weaning have a very low vitamin D status. Vitamin D, the provision of vitamin D to piglets through the milk, it's a very poor source of vitamin D. And so often pigs are weaned with a low status. And I think that, again, is a consequence of evolution, that when pigs were outside, the sow, you know, didn't necessarily need to provide vitamin D to the piglets. And I think Daniel at Sherbrooke has done, and Jacques Matt have done work, you know, giving UVB light, feeding our 25-hydroxy D3 and supplementing with just vitamin D3. And it's, you know, it's very clear that those UVB, that spectrum of from the sun can improve the status of the pigs. But most of our pigs, they're not getting sunlight. It's not provided in the milk, so we have a low status. So we've done some trials in some of the research. We've seen an improvement in feed intake and average daily gain with providing 25-hydroxy D3 in the diet at the 2000 IU equivalent per kilo a diet in the early nursery, particularly the first 21 days. And so in the nursery, we can sometimes see a benefit in growth. But aside from that, we've done some work feeding deficient Cal-Fos, NRC requirement type levels of Cal-Fos, which are based on growth, not bone, and then feeding higher levels of Cal-Fos than the NRC. And that would be adequate for maximizing bone mineralization. And we've seen that feeding high D, particularly when you're at the requirement for growth for Cal-Fos or below that, we can actually improve bone mineralization. So that's been interesting in the nursery, and in the grower studies have shown that as well. So grow finish, it's been more difficult to find differences in just feed them and weigh them trials looking at growth performance. But when we look at bone, that's when we start to see the differences. And so if you're having issues with osteochondrosis and lameness, that may be an important consideration to check your vitamin D status and perhaps make sure you're feeding 25-hydroxy D3 to try to mitigate some of the lameness issues that maybe if osteochondrosis is one of the causes for lameness. And oftentimes we find pigs maybe have a low status, but they appear healthy. And that's likely because you're feeding just enough to sustain bone, maybe not enough to reduce osteochondrosis, and you're probably already feeding adequate Cal-Fos. So Cal-Fos is extremely important in this whole picture as well. And so those would be some of the benefits we've seen in grow finishes, mostly on the lameness, with some benefits in nursery pigs for feed intake and growth. I suspect that has something to do with reducing inflammation after the stress of weaning or something like that. So again, the potential to benefit from an improved status for improving the immunity responses or reducing inflammation.
Okay, perfect. So then like one thing that I'm wondering, and like I think you mentioned earlier that like Canada and the EU, they have like limits to how much you can feed. So why is that? Like, can you overfeed vitamin D, and like, are there different types that maybe it's more prone to that?
That's an excellent question. And so I think some of those regulatory limits are from years ago when there was some experience with vitamin D toxicity, overfeeding vitamin D. I'm not exactly sure where those limits came from. Based on what I know now, we can benefit from feeding more. And I think that's why in Canada, the CFIA, after some consideration, increased that limit from 1,500 international units per kilo a diet for swine to 3,500. Realize there's an opportunity to benefit. And I think it may come from the fact that pigs were outdoors more in the past when they established those limits. But the reason was for safety, and vitamin D can be toxic, although there hasn't been a lot of research to really validate where that ceiling is. But I can tell you from the research that we've done, there can be some negatives from feeding too much vitamin D, D3 in particular. In one study, one of the early studies we did here in the U.S., everyone's chasing that status, right? Well, before 25-hydroxy D3 was available to use in the feed, they would do that by just feeding more D3. And in the U.S., we don't have that limit. So we fed a treatment through gestational lactation that was basically 9,600 IUs per kilo a diet, because in a pilot study, that's what it took to get the serum levels we were wanting to have. But in that study, of course, sows are limit fed in gestation, but during lactation, we saw a quadratic response. In other words, we increased vitamin D3 from 800 to 2000 to that 9,600. And those sows in lactation that had been receiving that 9,600 international units per kilo of D3, they had a reduction in feed intake and an increase in lactation body weight loss. But when we had fed 25-hydroxy D3 as the only vitamin D source, we were able to get a similar status but not have any of those negative effects that could come along with overfeeding vitamin D3. And so there are definitely some safety considerations, and we have to be careful about chasing status in the form of vitamin D that we use to try to achieve that.
Okay. So do you have any other final comments before we go to the final three questions?
No, just that I think the science is becoming compelling with every trial we do and every new bit of information we've been learning is 25-hydroxy D3, a pure source of it, is definitely something that can be helpful in our modern pig production today to help ensure that pigs have a good status. And so, so that you can, have good, healthy outcomes. And perhaps this could be part of the solution to help with lameness. And I realize there's other things that come into play that can cause lameness, but making sure you have a good vitamin D status is certainly one thing we know we can do with this ability to feed 25-hydroxy D3, so we can check that one off the list of potential reasons that our pigs are lame. And it's essential for metabolism of calcium and phosphorus, but it's also been demonstrated to be important for immunity. And we'll be bringing more research to the industry as we continue to learn more from the research we're engaged in.
I'm looking forward to the new results coming out.
Yeah.
It's time for our famous three.
Okay, so to our listeners, if you're enjoying this episode of the SwineNet Canada podcast show presented by Wisenetics, please remember to like, subscribe, and share it with your colleagues, friends, and family. All right, so that gets us to the final three questions, which is always the same for all our guests. So the first one is, what is your favorite swine-related book or resource?
Yeah, so I think these questions might actually be harder than all the ones before, but I don't have a single favorite. I try to, I go to, my resources are the other people in the industry and the people I work with. The customers, the scientists, the researchers. So I can't pin it down to any single resource. I think podcasts like these are an important source of information. But certainly my colleagues, I have a veterinarian on our team, our account managers, our customers, working with people at the universities like Dr. Crenshaw, Wisconsin, Dr. Stein. Their expertise is invaluable as we, learn what we learn and continue to learn more to try to help the industry and help our pigs to do the best that they can.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So then what about a favorite book or resource outside of agriculture?
Oh, boy. I don't have a single favorite. And I read a lot of papers for related to swine and nutrition and those sorts of things. So in my free time, I maybe don't read as much outside of swine, but listening to podcasts, history's always been something I've been fascinated with, and a variety of things. But studying our field of animal science, sometimes I'll grab an old book. The vitamin thing, the discovery of vitamins and how we've the research behind understanding why they're essential and the requirements and what levels. I really am fascinated about the history of vitamins and nutrition as it relates to not only pigs, but people. And so that's maybe one thing that really I get excited about sometimes outside of swine is just studying up on vitamins or learning about how the history about them, not only for pigs, but for human nutrition.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you are in the perfect position.
Yeah.
Being interested in vitamins and pigs, you yep. combine them together. So.
Yep. It's perfect.
Okay. So then the last question, in your opinion, what sets successful swine professionals apart from those that are not?
Yeah, that could be a review paper maybe, but there's a lot of things. I think passion is probably number one for what you do, and surrounding yourself with those people and recognizing, I think it's important to recognize what you know and what you don't know. And so you can associate with yourself with those people that can help you, that know the things you don't. And maybe you know, so being successful takes passion. It takes perseverance. You know, you've been engaged in research. It can be frustrating. You do a trial. You don't necessarily get the answers you want, or it gives you more questions than answers. And so
often I think it does.
So perseverance, just being open to surrounding yourself with people who are experts in their field, so they can, it can be a collaborative effort. And so it's really about people and being able to work with people and finding a team or a group of people that you want to continue to surround yourself with that kind of feed your passion.
Okay, perfect. I like that answer. So thank you so much for joining me at the Swine Canada podcast show today.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, so that concludes another episode of the Swine Canada podcast show. So again, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to stay updated on future episodes. So thanks everyone for listening, and until next time.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.